And so we turn to another side of that modern tech. Take motor neurone disease, MND, which afflicted Stephen Hawking for so long. His machine voice became ever so familiar. But now, at the University of Wollongong, Claire Watson has more.
If there's one thing that Professor Justin Yerbury wants to know about motor neurone disease, it's this. What makes some motor neurons more vulnerable to this disease than others? The Professor of Neurodegenerative Disease at the University of Wollongong was diagnosed with MND in 2016. And to communicate, he uses his eyes. A device mounted to his tablet tracks his eye gaze so that he can speak using a computer-generated voice.
Our research has focused on the association of protein deposits with MND.
As he has for a decade, Professor Yerbury leads the MND research group at the Illawarra Health and Medical Research Institute, where he studies the molecular origins of MND. He wants to know why some motor neurons die in this debilitating disease, while others, like the motor neurons that control your eyes, are somehow spared. So Justin, what can we learn about motor neurone disease by answering this question?
We think that understanding what it is that makes some motor neurons resistant to MND might ultimately point us in the direction of being able to use that information to protect all motor neurons from the ravages of MND.
And what do we know, thanks to your research, about the molecular origins of MND?
We have uncovered why proteins end up in deposits in cells, and our work also links the deposits to disease progression from one area to another.
Can you explain what are supersaturated proteins and what do they have to do with it?
Most proteins live their life in solution. You can think of them as dissolved, just like you would dissolve salt in water. Under normal circumstances, the proteins in our cells are living life on the edge of their solubility and it does not take much to tip them over the edge. Supersaturated proteins are far more concentrated in cells than we expect them to be. They exceed their expected solubility and, as such, are prone to aggregating and falling out of solution and forming deposits.
So how do our healthy cells usually adjust the levels of proteins to keep the balance right?
Maintaining homeostasis is one of biology's seven defining characteristics of life. A cell can make tens of thousands of different proteins and the level of each individual protein is exquisitely balanced. They exist in a relatively steady state, maintained by physiological processes. When protein homeostasis breaks down, cells lose their ability to deal with supersaturated proteins. This breakdown of protein homeostasis is associated with neurological disorders, like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and MND.
Your latest study, an international collaboration, published in April, looked at what makes spinal motor neurons particularly vulnerable to protein aggregation in MND. What did you find there?
Motor neurons are some of the largest cells in the nervous system and they are particularly at risk of having protein deposits. We can score proteins based on their level of supersaturation. We found that the supersaturation scores of all the proteins found in spinal motor neurons are significantly elevated relative to those of oculomotor neurons that are resistant to MND. These calculations are performed on healthy motor neurons and suggest that the scale is tipped long before the onset of disease.
So what happens to spinal motor neurons that are under enormous stress like this?
Motor neurons respond to stress by winding down the production of at-risk proteins. This strategy helps to reduce the further growth of deposits. However, some of the most at-risk proteins are in charge of electrical signals. When they are reduced, motor neurons don't fire properly, and muscles begin to twitch or fasciculate, which is a characteristic that can be measured in people with MND.
There's some great research happening at both ends of the spectrum for MND. At the cellular level, where you're studying aggregating proteins, and in the clinic, where clinicians can measure these overactive motor neurons in people living with MND. Tell me, how does your latest study bring those two areas of research together?
This is the first study to experimentally link the underlying molecular pathology of MND with symptoms that have been clinically observed in patients. The hyperexcitability of affected motor neurons. While we understand that deposits are associated with dying neurons and that dying neurons become excitable, this work proposes an underlying biochemical principle that helps us join the dots between the two phenomena.
Professor Justin Yerbury with a new understanding of the physiology of motor neurone disease just published. He was with Claire Watson of the University of Wollongong.